Father in heaven, we're thankful for an opportunity yet to be in your house of worship. Lord, as we turn our eyes to you, I ask and pray that you would bless us. Lord, give us the ears to hear, and Heavenly Father, the encouragement that comes across us. Today is Mother's Day, and we want to maybe focus a little bit more attention on our mothers. And Lord, the blessings that they've given to us and the challenges. And Lord, as it was designed from the beginning, that you've instituted marriage, and Lord, as we are all here, we all have mothers, and we just ask and pray that you would bless them, Lord, and we ask and pray that as we look into your word and ponder upon them and we uplift them, we pray a special blessing today. Give me the words upon my thoughts and lips, Lord, to speak your message in truth and love, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, happy Mother's Day. Today is a day that the attention and the focus will be towards our mothers. Just because it's Mother's Day, husbands, I think maybe at the end, as I'm going to be reading a poem, that perhaps we don't really take in account what really, you know, the mothers, their days and what they go through and their changes, the changes of their life as well. But today's the day that, you know, is that we want to focus on mothers. We want to recognize mothers. For some, our mothers are with us. For others, our mothers are not. Mothers that are here today, that those that have a really good relationship with them, it's a time that you can talk to her. It's a time that you can ask help. It's a time to seek advice. It's a time to create memories. But for some, Mother's Day is not a very happy day. Number one, because they're not with us, as I said, as we wish that they were. I know Julie and I a lot of times talk about her mom, and she would so wish that her mom was here that she can talk to her and so forth. But the memories that they've made, and we share that quite often. And perhaps there are some that don't have a really good relationship with their mothers and wish to. So it's hard. And to hear the all nice things that we talk about our mothers and we lift them up, some have a hard time with that a little bit. Or maybe you're a mother and your kids are grown up and they're out of the house. Maybe you have some deep regrets or you wish you can go back to motherhood and do them over again. Or maybe you'd love to be a mother and the Lord's not allowing that at this time. But all in all, mothers are the backbone of our families. They're the sacrificial love and the dedication should be observed at least once. Mothers have many different roles. Peacemakers, entertainers, transportation centers, accountants, hairstylists, nutritionists, educators, spiritual advisors, counselors, nurses, and we can go on and on. Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians, as we're going through that book in the sixth chapter, said, we have a responsibility to honor our mothers and our fathers. It's a commandment. It's a commandment that says that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy your long life on earth. And the emphasis is the importance of honoring our parents or our mothers is the blessings that come from doing so. Mothers sometimes carry burdens that their children for their children. And some of those burdens are very heavy and painful. But we also know that along with carrying those burdens, there's a lot of joy in it as well. This morning, with the Lord's help, I would like to focus our attention on three prominent women in the Bible. They'll be in the Old Testament, and we know of them. We've had many sermons on them. The first one I'd like to share with you is, if you can turn to me to 1 Samuel chapter 1. There was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanai, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zeph the Ephraite. He had two wives. One of them was Hannah, the other one was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up out of the city early to worship and sacrifice to the Lord the host in Shiloh. The two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to her, and all to her sons and daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her wound. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her wound. And she did so year by year, and she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to Hannah, "Why weepest thou? Why eatest thou not? Why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better than thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up early, and they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli, the priest, sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and he wept and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the afflictions of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give unto him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought that she had been drunken. And Eli said, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hereunto. Then Eli said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee the petition that thou asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time came after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. This portion of scripture is well known. We've, as I said earlier, had many messages in regards to it. But do you remember a time when somebody had something better than you or is more talented than you? And we talked a little bit about that in Bible class this morning. You can see Hannah here. She was a wife, and she wanted to have a child, and the Lord at that time saw it fit for her not to have any children, and it was weighing on her. But what was more so was that Peninnah was able to have children, and there was you can probably read in between the lines that there was some tension between the two, and every time they went up to the temple, there was, you know, she was kind of maybe antagonizing her a little bit because one had the child and the other one didn't. There was conflict. The conflict was from in. She was barren. She was unable to have children. God shut up her wound. And there was a struggle. And then there was the conflict from without. First, that she shared a husband with Peninnah, one that was fertile. And that's what she used to antagonize her year after year. But we see her response. She prayed. She wanted to have a child. And when they went up there and when she was praying, Eli was paying close attention to her. And she had this this deep desire. She was in the way she was praying. Eli thought that first she was drunk, but she wasn't. And we see that God granted her her wish. Her prayer was fervent, it was focused. And she made a promise that she would give him back to God. And we see that that happened, and it wasn't the only child that the Lord has blessed her with. So that's one mother that I kind of wanted to bring up as we think about our mothers and the concern and the care and the desires that they have. The second portion of scripture that I would like to read, maybe just real quick meditate upon, is if we go back to Exodus chapter 2. This has to do with the birth of Moses and Moses' mother. Exodus chapter 2. And there went a man from the house of Levi and took a wife, a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and she saw him, that he was a goodly child. She hid him for 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and dabbed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down and to wash herself at the river, and her maidens along by the river's edge. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him, and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And the Pharaoh's daughter said, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee the wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew and brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, "Because I drew him out of water." Kind of like to get a little understanding of really what happened here. Prior to that, in chapter 1, children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt. And what was happening is that as this new Pharaoh came in, there's a new king of Egypt that did not know Joseph, he started tormenting the children of Israel. And they set taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. They were really pressured. They were more But the more that they were afflicted, the more they multiplied and grew, Scripture tells us in verse 12 of chapter 1. And as it goes on, they made their lives bitter and hard bondage. They made them make mortar and brick and all manner of services in the field. And the king of Egypt in verse 15 says, "He spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Shepherah, and the name of the other was Puah. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew woman and see them upon schools, if it be sons, then ye shall kill them. If be a daughter, ye shall keep them alive." So this is a time where Pharaoh did not want any of the male children. The children of Israel were growing by leaps and bounds. Pharaoh did not want the male children to live. Keep the girls alive. But it says, "But the midwives fear God and not the king of Egypt, as he has commanded them. But they saved the men children." And Pharaoh found out, and he goes, "Why are the midwives of Pharaoh the Hebrews why are they not listening to me?" And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, "Every son that is born ye shall cast in the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive." And then we go into chapter 2, where he talks where Levi had took a wife of a daughter of Levi, a man, it says here. And the woman conceived and bared a son. And she tried to hide him as much as she can. And we see the love of a mother here where she did not want to give up her child. We know the pain and the grief of a child that is separated from their parents. And it's something that God has instituted in our mothers. And it's beautiful the way God orchestrated this just so it happened, so that she saved her son and what she did and how it was orchestrated so that the baby child can come back to her so she can nurse her and raise her for a short period of time up until she had to give him back up to adoption to the Pharaoh's daughter. But we can see God's hand in the way it was all orchestrated in the events that have taken place. And then, if we think about, I can think about another mother in the scriptures here. We can read in Hebrews 11:1. Actually, if we go over to Genesis 17, we can talk about Sarah, right? Abraham and Sarah. I think we're all familiar with that portion of scripture. God is talking to Abraham, and he says, "And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarah, but Sarah. Sarah shall be her name, and I will bless her, and I will give thee a son also for her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her." And Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, "Shall a child mind be born unto him that's 100 years old, and Sarah that is 90 years old bear?" And Abraham said unto God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." And God said, "Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and I will make him fruitful, and will multiply and exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in this at the next year." So we see a promise here that God has that God told Abraham that Sarah is going to conceive after she was 90 years old. We think of that today being impossible. What's impossible for man is not impossible for God. And we know then the story of Isaac and so forth as that goes on. I'd like to read a poem that I came across by a mother. This is before I was a mom. And I, you know, as I gave it to Julie to read, and she just, like, you know, hit it right on the head, the nail right on the head. But as I was thinking about this poem and how this mother expressed her feelings of before she was a mom and after she was a mom, that we husbands need to think about their lives as well. It goes like this. Before I was a mom. Before I was a mom, I ate hot meals. I would sit at the table without having to get up for extra napkins, ketchup, or to pick up the spoon that was hurled across the room. I never had to say, "Clean your plate," or "No dessert." I never went to work with formula-stained clothes or candy stuck to the back of my skirt. I always had time to pick out the perfect outfit and make sure I was wearing matching shoes and accessories. I was able to talk on the phone for hours at a time without interruptions. Before I was a mom, I slept as late as I wanted and never worried about what time I got to bed. I would take 20-minute showers every morning. Before I was a mom, my house was always clean. There were never dishes in the sink or crumbs left on the table. I never tripped over toys or made my own games or a lullaby so soothing to soothe a crying baby. Before I was a mom, I didn't worry about my plants were poisonous or if the coffee table had sharp corners or if the electrical sockets were exposed. Before I was a mom, I never had spit upon, peed on, or had my hair pulled on my tiny fingers, thinking it was a normal occurrence. You'd never hear me say, "Who made this mess?" or "Mommy needs a timeout." Those troublemakers, not me. I didn't know, didn't live in my house. Before I was a mom, I had complete control of my mind, my thoughts, my body, and all my feelings and emotions. Before I was a mom, I never held down a screaming child so that the doctors could do tests or give shots. I never thought about immunizations or learned how to read a thermometer. I never looked to a teary eyes and cried with compassion. I never got gloriously happy over a simple grin. I never felt in my heart break into a million pieces when I couldn't stop the hurt. I never knew that something so small could affect my life so much. I never knew that I could love someone so unconditionally. Before I was a mom, I never held a sleeping baby just because I didn't want to put it down or stayed up late at night just to watch it sleep so peacefully. Before I was a mom, I didn't know the feelings of having my heart outside my body. I didn't know how special it could feel to feed a hungry baby. I didn't understand the special bonds between mother and child. I didn't know that something so small could make me feel so important. Before I was a mom, I never got out of bed in the middle of the night to make sure that everyone was covered with blankets and had their teddy bear and just in case. Before I was a mom, I didn't know I was capable of feeling so much. I never had known the warmth, the joy, the love, the heartache, the satisfaction that being a mom can bring. I never knew that just how much I would love being a mom. Before I was a mom, I never fully understand my own mother's joys and sorrows. I didn't appreciate everything that she did for me or really thank her enough for the wisdom she shared. Before I was a mom, I never loved my mother the same way I do now. Before I was a mom, I never read bedtime stories from a children's Bible or had to answer any inquisitive child's questions about Jesus. I never had to tear up when I heard "God bless mommy" coming from a child's room. My life has changed, and there is no doubt about it, but there isn't anything I would be willing to do or any gift I would be willing to receive to go back to the days before I was a mom. Moms, is this spot on? And when I think about that, and I think about the lives that our mothers lived and the change of before they were mom to becoming a mom, and how much as a husband did I really realize and understand what mothers were going through, especially with little ones. Scripture gives us there's many portions of the scripture that gives us a glimpse of godly mothers and their faithfulness, their dedication, their tenacity. So today, as we recognize our mothers, let's not forget to tell them how much we appreciate them. Let's not forget to encourage them. And perhaps we may not, as men, understand what they go through sometimes. We are thankful for you mothers. And as these mothers that we have read in the scripture focused and relied their faith on God, I want to encourage you mothers to do the same. He will be able to sustain you, uphold you. And mothers that are still with us, those of you that have the mothers still with us, keep making those memories. Because there will be a time that they won't be here. So I just would like to encourage all of us not to recognize our mothers today and to thank them for who they are and what God has done for them and what they've done for us. As I said earlier, their roles of being a nurse, a counselor, a spiritual advisor, an educator, nutritionist, hairstylist, accountant, transportation center, a maid, peacemaker, entertainer, and then the list goes on and on. So for that this morning, I want to thank you, mothers. And we want to recognize you and encourage you for that. May God bless his word.